out of the Bible. The transforming power of God's great book. And it ought to amaze us when we consider that God's Word has the power to transform the lives of individuals, homes, churches, and nations. No human literary work has ever even come close to wielding the life-changing power of the book that you hold in your hand tonight. And it's for this reason the Bible has long been the target of Satan, atheists, infidels, false religions through the ages. The Roman Catholic Church knew that if the common people would ever get their hands on the sacred scripture, they would recognize the gross errors that the old Roman harlot was promoting. And that's exactly what happened. When the reformers, who by the way, did not come out far enough, they should have aligned themselves with Baptists when they came out of the harlot. They should have aligned themselves with churches of the Lord Jesus Christ who had always been preaching the gospel of grace, who had always been earnestly contending for the faith. You say, well, how did their movement gain traction? They had money. And they were persecuted somewhat, but not like the Baptists had been. Until the 1800s, really. Baptists, the reason why we hardly published anything is because we didn't have any money. We were being killed. We were being persecuted. We had to hide at different times throughout our history. But as soon as people began to get the Bible, especially in their own tongue, when it was translated into their own language, and they didn't have to depend upon someone else to interpret or tell them what it said. When people started reading the Bible for themselves, it blew up the heresy of the Roman Catholic Church. But the Roman Church forbid the possession and the reading of the Scriptures during the Dark Ages. Oftentimes, the Bibles were chained to Catholic pulpits, and only the priest had access to it. And he was the only one that could tell the people what they should know. They wanted the people to remain in the dark and in a state of spiritual ignorance and bondage so that they could continue to have religious dominion over them. The truths of Scripture have the power to set the soul free, to know and love the great God who is clearly revealed in the Holy Scriptures. I fear that because the Bible is so easily accessible to us, that it's such a common thing, that we often take its sacred pages for granted. We don't understand how powerful this book is. We ought to do everything in our power to spread the ministry of the Word of the living God, printed, preached, throughout all the world. But you consider the transforming power of God's great book in the work of conversion and salvation. Now, regeneration, the new birth, is a divine work of the Holy Spirit performed directly by the Spirit on a spiritually dead sinner. In regeneration or the new birth, a sinner is brought to spiritual life and light by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Immediately. Once the sinner is made alive by the power of the Spirit of God employs the power of the Word of God in conversion. and opens up the truth of the message of the gospel. That's why we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Because the Spirit of God uses that in conversion. The human side. Where that sinner is brought to life, he sees what he is, God shows him what he needs, and God grants him repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection. How amazing is it that the Spirit employs the power of the Word of God in conversion, convincing the sinner of his terrible condition, and then enabling him to repent and believe the gospel. Think about how many people's lives have been changed from listening to gospel preaching. People who probably no one even gave a chance to their life ever turning out right. But God's great book changed them for all eternity. I marvel at it. Soon I'll be celebrating my 39th spiritual birthday. The day that God called me out of darkness into His marvelous light and opened up the message of the gospel to my mind and to my heart and changed me forever. There is nothing more wonderful, more glorious than when God gives you a knowledge of Jesus Christ as He's revealed in the gospel and in the Word of God. The distinction and connection between the Spirit's work of regeneration and His use of the Word of God in conversion is found in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Everybody that believes the doctrine of grace ought to have that memorized. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the Spirit setting apart for holy use God's elect in regeneration. That's His work. And notice this. Here is the election, regeneration, conversion and calling, all in one verse, in their proper order. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Spirit's use of the Word in conversion. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's plain. This is how God works. It's through the power of His Spirit and His Word to bring about the great work of conversion. God's Word is so great that God will never convert, call, or save one sinner apart from Him. That's how important God's Word is. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I marvel that God made John the Baptist hear it in his mother's womb. Miraculously, He gave understanding to that babe in the womb. When he heard of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, he leaped with joy. God is all-powerful. He can do as He pleases. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is why I believe in witnessing. Why I believe in missions and sharing the gospel and helping people take the Word of God to people where they are, to sinners where they are, because the Word is powerful. And it's to be spread everywhere. Now, that's not all. That's just the beginning. once a sinner is converted and saved by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God, that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, employs God's great book in the work of progressive sanctification. The continual setting apart, consecrating of the child of God, separating him from the world through the Spirit and the Word, consecrating them to the work of Jesus Christ and to the character of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the means used by the Holy Spirit to set apart the believer from the world, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You don't read your Bible. You don't apply its contents. You will not live a holy life. You won't live consecrated unto God apart from His Word working in you. The Word of God has the power to cleanse, to sanctify, to transform the character of God's elect. And God's great book is the chief instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit to bring about spiritual growth and strength. From the very beginning, what does the Scripture say? 1 Peter 2:2. The very moment you're a newborn babe, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. From the very beginning, as you're discipling people, as you're sharing the Word with them and helping them and encouraging them in the Christian life, don't leave out the Word of God. It's the means of growth. God's Word is called the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians 6:17, because of its inherent power to enable God's elect to fight against indwelling sin. The Word is used to repel sinful thoughts. The Scripture, and how many times have you heard it quoted? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. What did Jesus say? In John 15, now ye are clean through the Word I have spoken unto you. How vital, how important is the transforming power of God's Word? When Jesus was praying in John 17, He mentioned in His prayer for all eternity, for all to hear, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's God praying to His Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ praying to the Father to sanctify believers according to the truth. As more and more of the truth of the Word of God is taken in and comprehended, the freer we find ourselves to serve and honor the Lord. Jesus said this, the Word of God is what frees you up. It's what liberates you. Sin is what brings you into bondage. If you think freedom is just doing whatever you want to do, you don't have any understanding of Christian liberty. None whatsoever. You know what real freedom is? Doing what God wants you to do. That's real liberty. That's when we are most free. And all you have to do is look at your own experience. Look at your Christian life. When are the times you get disgusted and depressed and discouraged? It's when you're in bondage. When you're feeling guilty. When you got sin in your heart and you're not right with God. That's when you're not free. But Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Apart from God, from the transforming power of God's great book, there will be little liberty, sanctification, cleansing, or ability to serve the living God. I'm astounded. As weak in faith as I am, how much God has changed my life. I'm a poor sinner that God chose and then drew me out of darkness into His marvelous light, saved my soul, gave me a desire to read the Word of God. And it is miraculous how God has changed my life. And not just mine. I've seen so many people whose lives have been changed by the power of this book. I've seen the Word transform the worst of sinners into saints of God. I told you about Eric, my friend growing up, steeped in Roman Catholicism to the point that when he left home and went to Ohio State University to study pharmacy, he became an agnostic. I would write him letters. He would write me back. Every time he'd come home for Thanksgiving, he'd come to the house. He said, every time I came there, you kept reading the Bible to me. You kept going through the Scriptures. He said, I didn't understand anything that you were saying, but something told me, you know, I want what he has. He's excited about this. And it wasn't much longer after that. God dealt with him and saved his soul, married a Christian woman, raised a family. His boys now have their own, they write their own bluegrass gospel music. It's amazing what God does with His Word. And here I was. I was just brand new in the faith. I didn't know nothing. But man, I wanted to show him how to be saved, what the Word of God said. And you never know what God's going to do with that. We have to be faithful. I've seen drunkards who once thirsted after booze, who now thirst for the pure and living waters of the Word of God. Men and women whose minds were once occupied with the things of the world have been transformed by the power of the Word to think upon holy things. I think we are battling today demonic forces that hate the Word of God. I think so many people are depressed. They live in fear. Many of them are overwhelmed with drugs. And I believe a lot of it is demon. The devil is working through heroin. I'm going to tell you something. If God doesn't save somebody out of that, they're never free from it. That's how much of a hold that drug has on people. It's sad. But I believe God's Word can change people. We should never underestimate the transforming power of God's great book. Godly homes are built upon the foundation of this Word. God said in Deuteronomy 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." God has appointed pastors to preach the Word of God in the Lord's churches, to cleanse and make His bride ready for His coming. Ephesians 5 says that He might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word, that He may present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I I want to get to the place where the Word of God has such an impact in my heart and life that every time I'm faced with anything, I can think of what the Scriptures say. I've been studying for 39 years. I'm not there. But I want to be. God's great book has always been the means of bringing about conviction of sin and revival in the hearts of His people. Well, I would love to see people just hungering, thirsting, crying out for the Word of God. I tell you, there is such a famine in the land. There's so much truth available. You can go online just in our sermon audio page and there's 600 messages revolving entirely around the portions of God's great book. Doctrines, practical messages. Just that one little church has the ability to put that out there. We've knocked on doors. We've handed out tracts. I talk to people. You talk to people. We witness to people. There is a famine in the land. People would rather play games on their phone. They'd rather just be entertained rather than making the Word of God the most important piece of literature in their life. That's why there's little power in most churches and among Christians. Because there's no application. I worry about, I believe the doctrine of grace my whole life. My whole Christian life. From the very moment that I was saved, even though I had no idea what the doctrine was, I know God is the one that reached down and got a hold of me. But you know what? I've tried to never just look at doctrine merely as an intellectual pursuit. I want it to be in my heart. I want it to motivate me to live for the Lord, to love Him, to be a help to people. Not just for the sake of accumulating more knowledge, but being able to use that through the spread of God's Word. Nehemiah says this, Nehemiah 9, 2 and 3. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Could you imagine a scene like that? Where you got people, an entire group of people for 3 hours reading the Word of God. And then for 3 hours confessing their sins and repenting. Man, you talk about revival. That's what they did when they were building the walls, even in troublesome times. In spite of all the evidence of the transforming power of God's great book, many people are like those in our original text in Hosea, where they counted God's great book as a strange thing. They count the great things of God's Word as a strange thing. They willfully neglect and forsake the truth of the Scripture. They are content to travel this uneven journey of life apart from the light of God's great book. what peril saints and sinners alike place themselves in when the transforming power of God's great book is counted as a strange thing. Let it not be said of any member of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church that the Word of God is a strange thing to them. May God give us grace to love it. Next week, we're going to look at our responsibility to God's great book.